to our meeting and ask you to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Lauren?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have our high school rep? Come on down. Good for him.
Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Christian Lamantia, and I'm excited to be this year's high school representative to the Board of Education. Students at JFK have been off to a busy start of the school year with a host of fun activities and educational programs. Despite being rescheduled due to rain, the JFK seniors were welcomed back to school with a successful barbecue organized by Mrs. Henkel and Ms. Carmen. We welcome the freshmen to their new home with an after-school welcome party organized by our lovely PTA. Two powerful safe teen driving event, nights for the upperclassmen went off without a hitch as well. And grade-level assemblies were attended by all students in which heightened concerns regarding teen vaping and the wearing of ID badges were discussed. And this past week, our school remembered the lives lost during the attacks of September 11th. Patriot Day, Mr. Murray remarked, is not just a day of remembrance, but also of hope and community. Students showed their solidarity by wearing red, white, and blue. The Candy Choir, joined by Dr. Lewis, sang at the 9/11 Interfaith Memorial Service at Good Shepherd Church. And in the near future, parents and teachers can look forward to another back-to-school night, the annual club fair, more games in the fall sports season, and more sessions of Operation Apply, a college application help service offered to our seniors. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, and we welcome you. And know you're going to do a great job because you did a great job as the middle school Board of Ed rep.
Yeah, they grew up, don't they?
They did. Okay, board announcements. Susan?
So this past Wednesday on 9/11, we toured the seven buildings. I don't know if my other fellow members are going to speak about it, but I want to share an experience we had at the high school. The high school looks great, but what I'm sharing is one of the victims of 9/11 was a graduate of POB High School. He passed away in the towers, and I'm still in contact with the family, and they're very concerned that the memory of the people who passed in the towers is going to just disappear. And there's a memorial up in the Plainview Park, and it hasn't been taken care of as well. And that really made this year very hard. When I shared with the family that not only is Eric's name on the wall, but Mr. Murray shared with the students Eric's bravery, because one of the things that Eric did was help clear his floor. The majority of the floor made it down. Eric and another gentleman did not make it down. The buildings collapsed. I'm sorry. But you shared his story, not just his name, and you made the family feel so grateful. So I thank you for that, and that the students do know the stories, not just the names. So forgive me. But
thank you.
I gave him the marble.
Other board in Ginger?
Yeah. It was nice for us to be able to see that a lot of the students were dressed in red, white, and blue from the elementary building right through. And I feel that each building, we're at PLB Middle School, and we heard the principal give her acknowledgement in discussing 9/11. We saw Mr. Murray's comments. And it is a day that we will always remember, and we won't forget the people from Plainview Old Bethpage, who passed away. But in our buildings, there also is a wonderful excitement. Going into the classroom, seeing the kids, it was as though there never was a summer. It was just as though there's a continuity and everybody was back at school. And seeing our little kindergarten kids who were just delicious to see and learning to walk that straight line and doing what they have to do and the different things that were on the walls. It was great to see so far the progress we've made with our bond, knowing that we have other buildings that are coming very shortly, as soon as we finish one. It's up to State Ed Department, the order in which we're doing our buildings. but I felt safe in our buildings. I truly felt, and when we walked through, knowing what we've done, what we have, I had no illusion that something was going to happen terrible. I felt our children were safe, our staff members were safe, and anybody who was in that building could feel that we have done almost everything I think we possibly could. And thank you, Chris, for everything you're doing. But when I talk to board members in other districts and hear what they haven't begun to do, we've already done it. And I just want to thank everybody in the community for supporting the bond and everything else. But it was really a wonderful day.
It was.
A long day, but wonderful.
A long day. I could barely walk by the time we left. Seth?
So a lot goes into getting our schools ready for the start of school. The schools look great. I want to thank our administrators, our teachers, our staff. But I do want to give a special shout-out to the Buildings and Grounds crew who have really did a great job getting the buildings ready. We're doing a lot of stuff with bond. We have contractors coming in. But a lot of work in the buildings is also being done in-house. So that's a credit to the hardworking B&G crew and, you know, Andy Ward and everybody else. So just want to thank everybody. Buildings look great. If you haven't been through buildings or even driven by, just drive by some of them. You'll see all the wonderful work that's happening. So looking forward to a great year.
Tara?
So I just want to thank everyone also. As a new board member, having the opportunity to walk through the buildings, especially because my oldest is in third grade. So I don't have exposure to all of the different buildings, and it was a fantastic opportunity, and I think it was an extremely valuable opportunity to me as a board member representing the entire community to have the opportunity to do that. So thank you.
Ditto to everything that my colleagues have said. While I thank everybody for getting our school year up and running, I want to piggyback on what Seth said. Our buildings and grounds people have a difficult job under normal circumstances, but with all of the building and construction going on and the fact that some of our buildings are used during the summer for very summer school and summer special ed and camp, it gives them a very small window to make certain changes and to get the building ready for our students. So our hat is off to them. Really great job. And now superintendent announcements.
Well, on Sunday, I had the opportunity to walk the Heart Walk with a group of wonderful students, the POB cheerleaders and the POB National Honor Society, and some of the high school administration, Ms. Lynn and Diana. I'm having a block. Beltran, Fran's daughter. And a couple of us from central administration. And it's just a wonderful walk. And they raised money. But I'm sure our cheerleaders are going to be featured because they were the ones welcoming everyone and doing their POB cheer as they entered into the tunnel to begin that walk from onto the field. Just a proud moment for us, really. Very nice. So that's it, and I enjoyed the walk. You know, a couple of questions that I just to answer some of the questions that have come up. A lot of parents are asking about Stratford Road and why it's the last school to be, you know, certain facilities changes. For example, the windows, the locks. Stratford Road is a historic building. It's the only one of our schools that's considered a historic building. I don't know why, but it is considered a unique style of the time. And so when we submit plans to state ed, it takes an additional step. And so those plans will take longer. So the windows, believe it or not, even though they were the same as the windows at Peewee Middle School, they took longer to be approved. So that's the reason that window is later. We don't consider any school a stepchild. We certainly will get to all of the projects. We are currently doing the locks at Matlin, and then it would be Stratford Road, and then it would be POB Middle School. Again, one of the reasons POB Middle School, again, is later with the locks. We couldn't start anything during the summer because we had Camp Apollo there. So please believe us when we say that everything will be done in the bond, but in a timely manner, and you know, hopefully that the message gets out to everyone that we are taking care of all of our schools, and by the end of the bond, everything will be accomplished.
Thank you. We're going to go on to reports and discussion. School calendar 2020-2021.
The reason we like to adopt our calendars early, especially when there's some significant changes in the way we do things. Next year is a very challenging year to calendar the schools without the September earlier before Labor Day start. You will recall a couple of years ago we had the same type of calendar when Labor Day was very late. And that was a year we did not have a February break. But because we are able to come in before Labor Day, I bring to your attention the fact that the 2021 calendar will have us with students, before Labor Day. We will have the weekend off, the Friday before Labor Day, so everybody will have a long Labor Day weekend. But students will be in before Labor Day in order for us to meet the all of the calendars obligations. We did discuss this last spring, but we did not adopt it. So now we need to adopt the calendar. So it's again before you for the adoption.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. High school scholarship report. I also want to thank all of the administrators for coming out and sharing their information with us. Welcome, Mr. Murray.
Thank you very much.
Welcome,
everybody.
So fancy.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to be here. Can't believe a whole year's gone by since presenting the 2017-2018 scholarship report. I know I probably sound like a broken record, but I think it's a broken record that you don't mind me playing over and over again, because we had a phenomenal year last year. I'm sorry? Yeah, no. with that, the scholarship report for the 2018-2019 school year. I know Dr. Lewis shared at the last board meeting the points of pride for POB-JFK, but of course she did it district-wide. These are specific to the high school, and we have so much, you know, that we are very proud of. I'm extremely proud of the 14 commended students in the National Merit Program, even though we also had winners and finalists within it, but to have 14 commended students is really tremendous. A U.S. presidential scholar candidate, that doesn't happen very often or very easily, so we happen to have that this past year as well. Three Intel International Science and Engineering Fair finalists was quite an accomplishment. And of course, if you look at the Long Island Scholar Artists for Visual Arts and Theater, as well as the Arts Supervisors Award, the News 12 Scholar Athlete, all around we had students achieving and excelling. Looking at our distribution of graduates for the class of 2019, you will see we had 91% of our students attending a four-year college, and 3% of our students attending, the military, while 6% were reversed. I apologize. Ah, my colors. Let me try that again. 91% of our students attending a four-year school, and 6% of our students attending a two-year college. And, of course, the remaining is undecided. Looking at our general education, our stats for regents and college statistics, most impressive, we had 306 students. 100% of our graduates in general education will be attending college, graduated. 305 of them received regents diplomas. So that's 99.67% of our students. And 298 students out of that class, the general education population, 97.39% will be attending college. or are attending college, I should say. Excuse me. From our special education population, here we had 55 students, and again, what a tremendous achievement. All of them graduated, so tremendous, you know, kudos to the special education department and, of course, all of those other teachers that worked with those students. Looking at that, of course, you can see we had students that received Regents diplomas, advanced Regents distinction, and, of course, Regents with honors. Of course, we had the local diplomas, and we had even the three students receiving the CDOS, the Career Development and Occupational Studies credential certification as well. With looking at the percentage of students that are attending four-year schools from the special education department, we had 69%, while 15% of them are attending two-year schools. So 96.36% of our students are from the special education department are attending college. Looking at our graduation rates, I'm very proud to say, rounding up, because we're right up there, 100% of our students graduated this year. I think in all my years doing this, I think this is the first time that I've actually been able to say that to you. So it's just a tremendous team effort, and I'm glad, you know, my colleagues are here, and I'm looking forward to, of course, going over this in greater detail with my faculty at the next faculty meeting, when I typically share all of these results with them as well. It's just a tremendous achievement, and of course, the 97% of the students graduating with honors, you know, we've done it before, but I mean, to continue to achieve that is really incredible. Looking at our AAP papers, 1,391 students. Now, we look at the year before, the 2018 year. Remember, that's an anomaly year, you know, because we had that real bump in our population. I think it was 65 students more than normal in the prior year. So coming back down to normal to see 1,391, I mean, going from the prior year, 2017, where we were 1,299, that's a tremendous, nearly 100 students increase in papers that were written. Art. The art department does like all the different colors, so we are very colorful, and I'm very happy with that solid line going across. Keep up the great work, Dr. Wiley, and of course, the art department.
I'm sorry?
It's always the best line.
Yeah. And looking at the English department, when we're talking about the passing Regents for English and, of course, achieving mastery, 97%. They continue to do great work across the board every year. And with their mastery, 75%. A little bit lower than the year before, but really when you look at the number of students, we're talking about a fraction of students. When we take a look at the English results for AP Capstone Seminar, AP Language and Composition, and of course, the AP Literature. We put them all together on this one slide. For looking at Capstone Seminar, you'll see that we had 96% of our students pass that exam, and with 74% for language and literature, 63%. So although we have a little bit of a dip in both of those exams, I know Mr. Yagloff is working with his teachers to you know, make sure that our numbers continue to remain solid. With regard to mathematics, here we're looking at our results for the passing of the Regents exam. And if you take a look, we have 98% of our students passed the Common Core Algebra exam, 96% for geometry, and for Algebra 2, 98%. So I commend Ms. Lagatuda and the department for these tremendous passing rates. Looking at their mastery rates, 66% of the students for Common Core Algebra. That's, you know, tremendous. Nice increase from the prior year. 48% with geometry, and, of course, for Algebra 2, we're also looking at 45%, so pretty consistent there. With regard to the mathematics AP exams, I know we're getting very colorful there, and my eyes are not good with this stuff anymore. I think I got to change.
It's a different color from different what you're seeing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's what it is.
You're right. All right, we'll have to go with a different slide for next year. Yeah, thank you. You're right, Dr. Lewis. That's why you're in that chair. Okay, with regard to the passing the AP exams, for Calculus AB, we had 55% of our students. And looking at that for the Calculus BC, 97%. We had 100% for statistics. For the Computer Science A, the 82%. And for Computer Science Principles, 100%. So it's remarkable the work that they're doing in the math department. I know with regard to looking at the Calculus AB, that's probably one that's saying to you, well, can we do a little bit better there? And that's something that we are working on. I've spoken to Ms. Longatuda on that. She does have a plan in place and pretty much has identified where we need to go to try and get that better. And knowing her, she's on it. Okay, we're looking at the music results for advanced placement music theory, passing rates of 3, 4, or 5, of course. We had a nice increase from the prior year, from 2018 to 2019, where 71% of our students passed. We noticed we had a dip the prior year, and we did speak to the teacher at the time about what had happened and what could be done better. Part of it was we had a dip in enrollment in music theory, and when you have that one singleton class that doesn't have many students to begin with, you notice the significant change more easily. Exactly right. Yep, one student does make all the difference. So anyway, we jump back up again to 71%. We do have a new teacher, of course, as Mr. Rubin has retired. So we have a new teacher that I know Mr. Rogers is working with to make sure that, who has experience, by the way, with this, with music theory. Okay, looking at our science results. This is the passing of the Regents exams for science. With regard to earth science, we had 94%, living environment 97%, chemistry 90%, and of course 95% for physics. So they're right up there. Our students are killing it with the Regents exams. With regard to achieving mastery, okay, 68% with the earth science, 76% with living environment for chemistry, 35%, and of course physics, 65%. I have spoken to Mrs. Barry at length, and of course she discusses it as well in her scholarship report with regard to trying to achieve improvement with regard to chemistry results. And I know her that she's already has a plan in place. She's working with colleagues in other districts as well to find out what they're doing differently to help improve that mastery rate. Continuing with science, we have the AP results. Looking at biology, we had 86% passing the biology exam, 82% for chemistry, which is an increase from the prior year, 52% for environmental. That's an area, of course, that we are continuing to work on. Mrs. Barry actually does have meetings already in the works for her to meet with the supervisors in other districts to see what they're doing too. And with regard to the physics one, 87%, 63% for the physics C, and 92% for the physics C mechanical. And who knows, with Dr. Lewis's retirement, maybe she'll come back and help us out as well. Right? I'm sure. Yes.
Member of the PCT, then.
She said you'll be a new member of the PCT.
Oi!
Let's go on to social studies. That's funny. I set you up for that. 99% for passing the global history exam. I have to commend Ms. Carnesi and the department with this new exam to achieve even better than before. We put our trust in you and your teachers, and it demonstrated that the students rose to the occasion and performed exceptionally well. 98% of our students, of course, with U.S. history as well, they're gearing up for their new Regents exam too. Looking at our mastery rates, we had 56% for the global history and the 88%. That 56%, I know that's stuck in Ms. Carnesi's craw. Big part of it. Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. You're correct. I mean, 56 is really good compared to what we saw when comparing to other school districts. And when we looked at the cut score, I have to tell you, a significant number of our students would have made it right over the hump if it was just a little bit differently. But that's the way it works. Okay, with regard to social studies and the advanced placement exams, I mean, we have a lot of colors going on here, a lot of exams in the AP. We definitely do. Okay. And looking at the world history exam, 97%. I'm sorry? Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. Yep, I mean, I commend them and, of course, Ms. Lynn for coordinating all of these exams as well at the same time, because it's a monster. But 97%, 73%, 79, 94, 96, 100. You could see them all. I know you have them all there for you, but they continue to do exceptionally well in each one of those areas. And last but not least, world language. The Checkpoint B exam, of course, just as a reminder, this department does not have the Regents exam. They have the Checkpoint B exam, which is the county exam that is created. And our students, of course, do exceptionally well in this, 99% with Spanish, 100% across the board for the other exams. And with regard to mastery rates, we had 54%, which was a bit lower than we would have liked, 70%, 92%, and 72%. And speaking to Mr. Rivera with regard to what his thoughts were with regard to the mastery rates for Spanish, and of course he wasn't here then, but reviewing the information and his experience in the field, he said they had switched to using authentic speakers for the listening comprehension part of it. And there is a possibility that our kids need more practice hearing authentic speakers in the Spanish department. So that's something that he's going to be working on with his teachers to see what they thought as well, if they believe that that was the problem area. But doing an item analysis, of course, will help them to identify what areas they can improve on. And, of course, last but not least, the AP exams, where we had 94% of our students passing the French, Spanish, I'm sorry, and the 69% passing the French. So we don't have it for Italian in this area. 69% is one area that we got to take a look at and, why that could very well be. But, of course, there's not as many students that take that exam. Yeah, exactly. So the percent difference will increase greatly because it's so few students that take it. So with that, I conclude all the data that I wanted to present to you from this past year. And, of course, thank you for all of your support, for all of our many problems and programs that we offer, a big difference, that we offer for our students. Without your support and your belief in us, none of this would be possible. So thank you very much.
And thank you and the entire staff, administrative and teachers at the high school. Really an amazing report.
Thank you.
Questions? Susan?
So thank you very much, and I congratulate the entire high school staff. So I'm just asking these questions because there are some we can always improve. It's not something we want to keep static. So one of the things I noticed was with the AP English Lit, it was one of the low on the lower end. Now, I know from that course that it's a very set, prescribed reading list. Now, if a student doesn't particularly care for that particular genre, it makes it sometimes difficult. I'm hoping that when you discuss or when Jeff discusses, we can look at maybe something where another rigorous class. I know we're adding classes into the curriculum now, but it's not specifically for 12th grade because 12th grade has a different requirement. So I'm just hoping we can get maybe, because we have college level, and I know our priority has been the AP, but other college-worthy level classes that might not be the AP Lit, if that is a possibility or if that's
I've
a conversation.
I've actually been having conversations with Mr. Yagloff with regard to that.
And if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We have been, and you know we always have this tender balance. Once we start offering more college-level credit-bearing courses, it competes with our APs, and that was a direction we were looking to add more enrollment with the APs. But hearing that and Jeff being open, we will start talking to the teachers, students, and parents. Do we want to offer a college level, at least a writing course in 12th grade, so that they leave with that under their belt, which is a typical freshman requirement in third?
But I would also explore maybe some other literature that's not just, you know, the prescribed by College Board, because I think I'm just noticing from experience that, you know, they need to be exposed to some sometimes other titles.
Sure.
And thinking, higher critical thinking on just Hidden Figures, you know.
Absolutely. And that is their, you know, they get that experience going up. But also to keep in mind, the AP Lit and Lang has one of the highest enrollments. So
Lang,
you know that too.
I'm just saying Lit is a different animal. Yep. Also, to piggyback on, this report doesn't show the college-level classes that we offer, and we offer in business, we offer in math, we offer in foreign language. Why don't we see reports on that?
I can, to be honest with you, if you're if
just curious.
Like
I mean,
that? Yeah. Sure,
I mean, is that would that be a problem?
No, not at all. The problem.
You're looking for results as in grades. That's what this report shows.
I'm looking for results in necessary age grades.
But we can certainly put reports together as to the number of students who were enrolled and the number of offerings that we give. We can do that. But we won't have grades.
I'm not necessarily looking for a grade. I'm just looking if they're successful, they're not successful. You know,
yeah,
if the students
true.
Are taking Good to point. It. And then my last question would be about the math. I know you addressed the Jen did, we noticed that the AP AB calc was on the low side. Now, I know our A2, which has realigned itself to the Common Core, is there something going on between, because when we went Common Core, did something get lost? Because this is really, your A2 is kind of, and your pre-calculus kind of feed into this AP AB.
Can I ask Ms. Lagatuda to respond to that? Would you mind? Thank you.
Because I'm not questioning the regions, because they're doing great, but maybe is there something missing in the curriculum?
Oh, thank you. So with the Algebra 2 Common Core, what has lessened is the trigonometry. And so we must follow the prescribed curriculum by New York State. But what we noticed over time is that we need to embed the trigonometry. I'm sorry if I'm...
Oh, no.
Sorry about that.
Close.
Oh, okay. So let me just backtrack a moment. When I arrived, Christian had just completed a curriculum project with the teachers, and he noticed that matrices was not in our course, but it was popping up on the ACT. When I arrived, the pre-calc honors curriculum did not have matrices. So the summer after my first year, we worked on adding that as well as adding trigonometry, because with the Common Core Algebra 2, there was definitely a decrease in the expectation of trigonometry. So for example, trigonometric equations, trigonometric identities, trigonometric identity proofs, a lot of those things that college professors would expect our students to come in proficient with, you know, that was getting lost. So what we have enhanced is in our if you look at our curriculum writing projects over the last several years, we have embedded matrices throughout for pre-calc and pre-calc honors, as well as increase the amount of trigonometry so that the students would be better prepared for college. In terms of Algebra 2, we don't really have a lot of control there. The course is bursting at the seams, so it's even if we wanted to embed more trig there, we would need to lose something else. So we are struggling with the state in terms of this course. There are too many concepts to be taught within the time frame that we have, and so the teachers have been doing a wonderful job. You know, we work together in figuring out where are we going to emphasize our time, where are we seeing our students struggling, and where are they doing okay, and where we can spend less time on those areas.
Susan, something that you just brought up is interesting. The A2 you have for the regions, that's obvious, especially with the mastery and the passing rates. But we have right now what was it, 97% going to college either 2 year or 4 year, was or 98, something, a high 90, let's go there. The students, for the most part, either have to place out or take a placement test. So almost everybody who's taken A2 has to take a placement test for calculus. So is there a way to maybe make an elective or a half year of trigonometry or something like that? Because even if you don't go on to calculus per se, you're going to need to take it at some point and use it at a placement test with our graduates being going to these higher levels institutions. Is that a conversation or to be had?
But Algebra 2, they're moving into pre-calc, though.
They don't have to. They don't necessarily have to, do they?
They don't have to. So you would like an alternative to pre-calc that would offer trigonometry.
Or something to that effect. So even if you don't take calculus, because you're going to be, let's say 98% of our students are taking some sort of calculus placement. That's just
correct.
Part of freshman year of college. They should
not
be.
They haven't had pre-calculus.
They have to take a math placement at
and
college.
Math, but not a calculus placement.
Right. But most cal. Mo- I well, okay.
So they go. They don't come from algebra 2. To
I'm college. Talking at the college level. Their math placement test is going to grade them where they're going to go for their freshman math. During orientation or outside of orientation.
Understood, but
they don't go from Algebra 2 to calculus in college. They would do a pre-calc in
pre-calc,
college.
Right.
But they're
going
to be put into a placement.
They a have pre-calc to placement.
Yes. I want to make sure they're prepared for the placement test. Mm-hmm. Will they be prepared for a placement test that might have some of these extra things that will have more trigonometry on it than only if a student takes pre-calc?
But she's her is point college is ready if they do
right,
not
do they take, right?
if her question is if they do not take pursue pre-calculus, will they have enough trigonometry under their belts for the placement exam?
Right. So college ready math, does that have enough trigonometry?
Well, college ready math is those are for students who need that extra foundation leading into Algebra 2. So most of our students who successfully complete Algebra 2 may not take college ready, but college ready math is one of our courses where we built in trig and statistics.
Right, but like that would be an 11th grade course, and if you're taking algebra 2, you're probably in 11th grade, so you're not going to take one or the other.
Our experience is that the amount of trig in algebra 2, although it's definitely less than the previous course, it still has been sufficient for those exams. It's the unit circle. Your basic SOHCAHTOA, you have your law of sines, law of cosines. It's enough to get them through that exam. My concern, as I attended workshops with my colleagues across both counties and in speaking with college professors, is students not coming to college with the trigonometric understanding that they have had in prior years.
Right.
And that's something that we've been trying to address through our pre-calculus curricula in both pre-calc and pre-calc honors.
Okay. Thank you for addressing it, and I hope it comes up well.
I really appreciate the suggestion. But I'll still brainstorm. I'm always looking to improve our program, and if that's something that might work for us, I'll look into that.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions?
Kudos to everyone. Great report. A couple years ago, we instituted the AP Capstone, and I've heard how much it's grown, and I've heard nothing but positive feedback from students that I have spoken with, and I just want to get a sense if somebody that's, and it's certainly a cross-discipline program, just to describe how much it's grown and the feedback you're getting, not just from you, but from
Jeff.
The teachers.
Hi, thank you for the question. We actually doubled in size from last year. Last year we had 52 students taking it, and this year we have 104. And this is the first year. One of the original plans was to say we weren't going to eliminate English 10 honors. We were going to, the phrase we were using was, it could die naturally on the vine, if that's what was meant to be. So this year we actually have 88 students taking English 10 honors. So the program is really, really growing. We have 4 full sections, about 26, 27 students, and I'm teaching 2 of those. And really it's outstanding. I think that's something that's important, and I think it kind of makes its way across all of the APs, is we know we've had this district initiative for about the last 3 or 4 years of trying to increase the percentage of students that are taking it. And I've shared with you before, one of the big credos that comes from the College Board is they explain and they say, when they look at a district and they're analyzing data and a district is kind of patting itself on the back because they have a high number compared to that average of 5, one of the first questions that they ask the school district is, well, how many students are involved in your program? And if your number is so high, should you really be thinking about drawing more kids in for the most rigorous type of education? So I think it's something to consider. I mean, we have a very, very high average. I think last year was around 3.45 is our AP score for the English 10 AP capstone. But realistically speaking, knowing that we're moving to 104 kids and seeing the students that are in the class, I could imagine the number going down a bit. But in my mind, I think that that's something that's worthwhile for that many more kids being involved in a rigorous program. And I think it's not just an English situation, but with its interdisciplinary approach and focus on argumentation, on research paper, on presentation skills, on collaboration, I think it's something that's going to strengthen students really across the board. So there is that give and take in terms of increasing the population of the class, and sometimes the score is going down a little bit. But in my mind, I think it's a worthy value.
Great. Thank you. All, like I said, I've heard nothing but positive.
Thank you very much. We're very proud of it.
Susan?
So this is to piggyback on the general, I think the AP capstone program is very well taken, but I'm concerned as a general philosophy that to have just APs as your honor or as your rigorous class puts a lot of stress on the student, and I'm concerned about that. I think there still has to be options for honors level. You know, it's one notch up. If you want to drop down, I just don't want to just be AP, you know, or just, it concerns me.
I had a feeling you were going to say that because I saw it in your face as he was speaking.
And so did Jeff, because here he comes back.
Yes. Well, again, we do have 4 sections of English 10 honors, and I think English is a different situation. I remember years back with Ms. Carnesi with social studies, it was through long discussions back and forth with the board that they eliminated some of those honors classes. English still offers an 11 honors course also, so within 11th grade, we are presenting that option to students. Years ago, we used to generally have 2 sections of the class. Now, for the last 3 years, we're down to 1 section of the class. So it's usually about 26, 27 kids that do want that in between. So I know Dr. O'Mara spoke to it before. In terms of offering another option for senior year, there are options out there. I mean, this year we have our college news media literacy, so we're working with Stony Brook University and their ACE program, so the relationship is there already. We also have our college radio production class that's a Long Island University scale program, so that's another option, and I've taught within that. There's Farmingdale, there's Syracuse. I think it's something that's worthy of investigation, that if our kids are kind of looking for that half step, by all means, it's something that we can investigate and figure out what program is right for us. But it is one of those understandings, as Dr. O'Mara brought up, that we are going to lose a number of students from the AP, from the 12 AP course. So if it is the right fit for our students and there's a want and a need for it, by all means, we'll place that in. But again, it's going to draw away from our 12 AP class.
I'm not looking to, you know, just focus, zone in on English, but I'm concerned across the board that, you know, we don't go all AP. That's my biggest concern, not just your department, math and social studies, et cetera. So I've seen what happens when students in their senior year and junior year are taking their SATs, their ACTs, they're writing essays, they're visiting, our students are all over the place. We've seen our high schools. Scholarship reports. There's only so much a teenager can take. There's only so much an adult can take and prioritize. We're focusing on mental health. I want to make sure there's choices. That's all. I just putting a buzz in the ear that there are choices, and we're not eliminating anything and letting things die on the vine because of that. I want it their options to be still there and viable for students. That's my concern.
I understand. And I guess just to clarify, when I use the phrase die on the vine, that's just really a question of the student interest that's out there. If that number continues to decrease, I think it really is something based on demand for the class. It's not something, I mean, one of the things that I prided myself on is going and speaking with the classes. I went to all the ninth grade classes to speak about AP Capstone, for example. And really, I was there, and the first thing that I said was, I'm not here to sell you on the program to try and get kids to go to take English 10 AP Capstone. I'm here to really explain the program and try and find the right fit. No matter what level a student is in, I think it's really about informing the student and informing the parents and the community as to the expectations of the course and finding out if it is the proper level of challenge for students.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I truly do. I want just somebody to step back the 300,000, the 30,000 feet view of the schedule of what this means. You know, it's a great fit today, but you know, three, four weeks ago on the first test, and we have, you know, in 1 week, five AP type exams, because most of the AP classes use old AP exams for. It's a lot. It's all I'm saying is a lot. And I just want to make sure we're taking a good look.
It's funny that you say that, because a few of our teachers this summer, Lena Seaton, Donna Scully, and Tracy Gonzalez, three of our AP teachers, actually went to the national convention. And I was sitting down with Lena trying to find out about a lot of the information. And she said probably the most shocking thing that she heard from in one of the plenary sessions from one of the heads of the college board is, and he said he repeated it multiple times, that in his mind and in the college board's mind, it's probably ideal for students to take two AP classes per year. And we had a little bit of a smile over that, because we said, you know, that is wonderful, wonderful theoretically, but I think that we have to be pragmatic to some extent also and know that our students are really applying to some of the finer competitive schools that are out there. And students are mindful of that fact and wondering, what is my transcript going to look like when we put together a high school profile that really shows the different levels of rigor for students. So to some extent, I think that that's a student and family decision about just how far they want to push themselves.
Lauren?
I just want to add and let Seth know, there's somebody that lives in my house who's taking AP Capstone right now, and he's not one to really talk much about, you know, how was your day? Great. However, I've never heard a child so excited about a course. And it's not a focused course in his mindset typically, so kudos to the course and what it brings to a student who is not typically in that realm, because it is showing a lot of excitement, at least in our home. So thank you.
Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate that.
Sure.
And again, thank you for this amazing, amazing report. And continue the great work.
Thank you again.
And welcome back. Because now we're going to discuss the Twilight program.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome back. I'd like to introduce Claude Scheine. He's the principal of the Twilight program. I asked him to join me here tonight because this is all his hard work with his team, and I'm very happy to share this report with you tonight. And, of course, if there's any additional questions, I know Claude would be very happy to help out. Okay, the goals of the Twilight program, I know you've seen these goals before, but just really to recap what they are, the program is designed, created to meet the specific needs of a certain population of our school who struggle with the traditional school setting. So this program is really, really designed for them. It's a BOCES program, kind of like summer school is a BOCES program. Well, this is as well. Many school districts across the island use the Twilight program, but they use it to suit their needs. So it's designed personally for their own school. Based on the needs that we've identified with the students in our school, we were able to create this program, and with your support, we're now going into our second year with it. The Twilight program for the high school really has four periods. It starts after the school day. It's housed in our world language wing in our building. It's a quiet wing outside of the right after the school day that students that are around in our building really would not be going down that way. We have a period one class at 2:30 to 3:15, which has been added in, as you'll see that that's a 45-minute period as opposed to a 90-minute period, so that this way we could incorporate in that time slot a class like phys ed that would meet every other day, for example. The periods 2, 3, 4 are the longer sessions. Those are for the other periods that we have, the other courses. These are currently the classes that we are offering this year. And again, it's really based on the needs of the students that are signed up for the program. So we have English 10 regions, English 11 regions, Algebra 2, Geometry, Living Environment, Chemistry, the Global History. Actually, we wouldn't have the 9 regions right now, right? Because we don't have any ninth graders in there. But U.S. History regions, as well as the Physical Education and Health. Our current staffing, we have Mr. Shina as the principal of it. We have Mr. DiDomenico, the guidance counselor. And then, of course, our teachers of the different subjects, Ms. Gonzalez, Ms. Levitt, Mr. Schumacher, Ms. Winters. And this year we added on, with your support, a mental health counselor, which has really been a help for us because that was one of the things that we've identified throughout the prior year, was being able to give those students in the program the additional emotional support that they needed. So this really addresses that issue, that concern. Last year, we had 13 students enrolled in the program. We started out with 2, in essence, from the beginning of the year on. And what we didn't expect was that we had 5 freshmen that ended up being in the program, and 5 juniors, 1 sophomore, and 2 seniors. Those students that were identified for being in the program were done through our instructional support team, or our EIA, which is we rebranded it last year on the Ears, Eyes, Ideas, and Action Committee for the building. So we use the Twilight program as an intervention program for the high school. It's not going to be the be-all to end-all. It's not going to be something that's going to work for all students. We know that. We knew it going into it. Some kids continue to struggle. Some of the things that they struggled with, which is what really led them there, was coming to school, anxiety, school phobia, things like that that prevented them from being able to sit in the traditional school setting. Going to the cafeteria with hundreds of kids would be overwhelming for them. Walking in the hallway, even getting out of the car and entering into the building, they just couldn't do it. And what we learned last year was that this problem that they were identified with is something that they came to the high school with in most cases. I'm not going to say always, but in most cases, the problem was evident when they were in middle school. So what we learned and we've now been addressing is working with our middle school counselors and administrators in identifying those students earlier on so we can try and help get them the support there before they get to the high school. As of right now, we have 5 students currently in the program. We don't have any freshmen or seniors. We have 3 of sophomores and 2 juniors. But that could change. The way it works is when students are identified and if they feel that this might be something that they'd be interested in taking a look at, Mr. Shiner and his team will invite the student to come and tour the program. And if you can get them to the school, that's really half the battle, is getting them there and helping them to get out of the car, come into the school, and see what the program is all about. Now, the program itself is not designed at all for kids to stay there. The program is not designed for kids to stay there. It's, again, an intervention. So our goal is to get students to go return back to the school day, which is one of the things that we are very proud of, that we have had students return to it. So some of the challenges that we addressed, of course, Mr. Shiner, his first role as an administrator here, he was designing a school within our school, which is really a challenge in itself. The physical education aspect of it, we designed the physical, we went into it thinking that the makeup phys ed class could be used for it, but that really wasn't the best fit for phys ed. So we at some point in time in the spring of last year, I guess it was, he included the physical education component in the Twilight program, which is what he's doing now. One point of entry is a challenge, because that one point of entry is an area where those kids struggle with coming into the building, because they have to come into that part of the building and then walk towards where the Twilight program is. And if kids are still in the building, you know, which they are, they're from remedial or clubs and sports, they struggle with that. But having a very nurturing staff, which is what he has, he picks the members of his team very carefully, and they help those kids to be able to come in and to come into the building. So meeting the emotional needs of the students has been a challenge, but of course having now the mental health counselor is going to be a big part of it. And she's already getting to know the students that are in that program, which is wonderful. And the last, of course, point to it, the out-of-district placement is still a possibility for some students, and that does happen. It actually has happened already. But you know what? We take this step in between. So although it may have happened for the one, for the others, some of them have returned back to our program. So we've had success. We've had great success with the program. All of our students passed the Regents exams, except for one student didn't pass one of them, but all of the other Regents exams were passed. I mean, that's a tremendous achievement for kids that weren't even coming to school to see that they did pass their exams. All seniors enrolled in Twilight graduated in 2019, which you know that from the other results that I gave before. And six students integrated back into the traditional school day. So it's demonstrating that we are achieving success with what we're doing. And those students, by the way, that return back, they don't just come back and then say, okay, it's all fixed. We got to continue to monitor those students to see if they're continuing to be okay, to get the support that they need, because they still will need our support throughout. And working with the guidance department, of course, will provide that for them. So I think that pretty much covers, you know, all of it. It's really what we're finding is the support that they need, of course, coupled with great teachers, great instruction, but that's what these kids need. Yep. Okay, so when we talk about the future of Twilight, I'm sorry, I had one more slide. I tricked you. It will continue to evolve, and it's going to be based on the needs of our students. You know, some school districts are dealing with gang issues and fighting and all of those kind of issues, which leads a lot of the kids to their Twilight programs. Ours is not so much behavioral, as I mentioned before. It's more the emotional needs of the students. Of course, a new schedule had to be created for this year, demonstrating that we were reflective of what transpired last year and how we can make that program better and more appealing as well for those students. Because some of those students work outside of the school day, they have family obligations that they need to accommodate, so being able to accommodate their needs as well is very helpful. The Infinite Campus Management System, we're working with Mr. Donnarumo, as I know, and with Mr. Shine, has been very helpful in being able to make sure that it is fully integrated into the Infinite Campus System so that those parents that are involved would be able to see how their students are, how they're doing. Challenges, it still remains a challenge to fill the staffing needs for the program. You know, the BOCES will help Mr. Shine, but the best teachers are the ones that we have right here in Plainview. They know our students, they know our district, and what our kids need, and so being able to fill those positions with them. But, you know, it is a challenge for them, too, because they do work a full day here, and then to commit to that as well. And, of course, the 2019-20 school year will be even better, we believe, than the prior year because of the team that we have and being so reflective and the support. Dr. O'Meara has been wonderful meeting with Mr. Shina and Ms. Lynn, Mrs. Espinosa and myself to be able to accommodate the students in the program.
Well, thank you for, again, another amazing report. And Mr. Shina, thank you and the staff for affording our children this opportunity.
Thank you, the board, all the administrators that helped the program grow and where it is now. Today, with Dr. Mara's help and the mental health component we put in, the first 45 minutes is going to be, the payback will be great. I mean, that's the piece we're missing. So they need the help, they need the support, and now they have it.
It's great to hear. Ginger?
Yeah, thank you. And I know when we began talking about a Twilight program, it wasn't an easy 1, 2, 3 thing. And it's because each child is so different in the program, it's like they each have their own IEP coming in. I didn't see foreign language there.
We don't offer a foreign language. We have a bridge program that no student can come into Twilight and actually graduate out of Twilight with only Twilight classes. So we offer the core. We'll offer all the core courses with phys ed and health. But if they want some foreign language or electives, they can take them during the day and bridge them in. Maybe for some students, they take them earlier and then they may leave. Some students may take them 7th, 8th and stay and continue through Twilight.
Well, I was glad to see the ones that graduated. I mean, that's a very proud moment for all of us. Let's talk about the 9th and 10th graders coming in. If there wasn't this type of program, where would they be, in your best guesstimate?
Not in school for sure, and probably placed out of district.
Yeah. Kids wad out of class, meaning get withdrawal from denial of credit because they've over-absenced. So this intervention has really been something to help to identify, especially for the problems sometimes with the parents, of identifying that there is a significant problem here. And this is one way we're trying to help keep your child in school.
But they understand that they can't stay there for the 4 years because they won't have enough credits to graduate.
Sure, that's a plan they clearly understand. When they come into the program, they have a lot going on, and they usually come down with a parent or a counselor, and they're usually not that happy, and they're just trying to find something, forced to come to school and see the program. I wish I had a video camera that I could show you when the kids come, and then once they're there after a few weeks and months of how they come with their hair over their face, looking down, never looking at anybody, disliking me most of all, and then after a few months talking to them and their hair's off, they're on the board writing and participating and taking classes, Regents classes, and passing. So
can we, do they get phased in gradually? Is that the goal, to take the kids in the 9th graders so by 10th grade maybe they'll be attending?
We don't choose them. The goal is to try and get them to acclimate back to the regular ed. We do that with the bridge classes, so they do take a couple of classes. Maybe it's a resource room class, whatever's most comfortable for them. And hopefully year after year, 6 went back this year, and for the ones who, we had 4 come back again, and hopefully those 4 are now taking bridge classes, so they get more comfort with the school, because I think that the Twilight gave them the opportunity to be educated, see a classroom, see teachers, see other students, and they're okay going for a little while, 1 or 2 classes, then coming to Twilight, and they still like that bridge.
Are the parents supportive?
Very supportive, yes.
Yeah. What I also think we should mention, and I didn't mention it before, and you almost actually mentioned it, was that 45-minute timepiece at the beginning with the mental health counselor. She's also incorporating groups for them to be able to sit and discuss, which is a good thing for them to be able to share their feelings and their problems and being able to help them, support them, being able to integrate back into
the nature. I was wondering if there's a camaraderie amongst them, that they find that common denominator.
There is. That's what we try and find. We have group, we have individual work now with our 45-minute counseling, and they do it throughout the Twilight period. Before that, we really didn't have the time to do that. And since they weren't going to regular school, they weren't really attending their regular counseling. So they were kind of just coming to Twilight without counseling, which made it more challenging for the teachers. We had we have a counselor on staff, but we did counseling, and we had to take them out of class, and they would have their moments. But now with this, it seems to be making it much smoother and keeping them, you know, focused on not only Twilight, but saying, hey, I got a bridge class, or I'm going to bridge next year.
I'm also glad you're looking towards the middle school, because if children, middle school, they probably might have even had trouble in an elementary building, that we can start getting them that support right at the very beginning and make school something they want to attend as opposed to staying home and absenting themselves. Thank you. It's a great report.
Dr. O'Meara has been instrumental in helping us identify those kind of reports through Infinite Campus that we can be able to utilize at the middle school level as well here for us.
That's great. Seth?
So I know this is now just year 2, so some of the students that have transitioned back, I'm happy that we're monitoring, but do we get feedback from them and from their parents as to the program itself, ways to, you know, what they felt worked, what didn't, you know, positives, different tweaks to it, you know, just as you continue to improve, getting feedback directly from them, but also from the parents?
Absolutely. I think that's very important. I think last year, the first year was fully created last year. I mean, last year we didn't have classes, we didn't have times, we really didn't have all the pieces that we have, the communication with the Google, the EIA. It all kind of came together nicely by the end of the year. So this year we plan on building on that and tracking them. I think it's important to track them as they go through to make sure we do. In Twilight, I still go back and look at their attendance in regular school to make sure that everything's in order and talk to the counselors about it. But I think there can be something that they can reflect back on to say maybe how it helped them or what it did for them to move back into the regular school. But that's definitely a plan. I mean, last year was the first year, so this year now we finally have somebody in school that we can ask questions. Yeah. You know, right now our fingers are crossed, hopefully everything goes well and they're comfortable. It's still early stages for us, so.
Can I just add one thing? Please. I'm sorry. The other really nice piece of having Ms. McGarry, or you can say there, our mental health provider, is that she's also focusing on parent support. So, you know, that was one piece, right. a big piece, that we just didn't have, you know, access to. And she's, we've talked a lot about her reaching out to the parents and helping them with strategies at home so that we're working together. That's a big piece.
And that's so important.
Yeah, that we'll address much more specifically this year.
Many times it's the key to their success or failure.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, the parents call us and, you know, help. What do? I'm trying to get them out of the house. I'm trying to get them out of the car. And, you know, so that piece will be really powerful. Yeah. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. And we understand that this is going to be a changing and evolving program as you continue. You're going to learn things, and certain things work, certain things don't. And that's what we all want to do with everything, all of our programs.
The board's support of programs like this, you know, clearly demonstrates that you are here for all students, you know, and you have a vested interest in them. So it demonstrates, and we thank you.
This is such a love fest. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we're going to go on to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted onto the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of other speakers, the Board of Education, and all staff members. The floor is now open.
Good evening. I'm Meredith Lewin. I live at 136 Orchard Street in Plainview. And I just wanted to ask if you could tell us anything about the status of the sale of Fern Place School.
Well, right now it's exactly the same as it was before. We don't have a contract to discuss. And is there anything else?
So the ACDS is staying on as a tenant month by month?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. I just want to congratulate the board on a successful start of the new school year. From what I hear, everything is going along quite well. I do have one comment on item 8.3, the contract with the Blue Sea, and the board knows or has heard my comments before. Paragraph 4B of the contract requires the school district to indemnify and save harmless the contractor, and this is something that in all my years of engineering and public contracts, I've never seen it before. I am familiar with where the contractor will save the the county or the school district will indemnify and save them harmless. But the other way around is contraindicated for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Set the timer. Hi, everyone. My name is Alka Iqbal. I live at 6 Sagamore Street in Plainview. I'd like to ask the board to consider having the Muslim holidays of Eid as part of the school calendar. I understand there are important implications, like what the impact would be to the days off and what the population would be. But I'd like respectfully to ask for an opportunity to present formally to the board, perhaps before the calendar is finalized for this year. Thank you.
Well, isn't the calendar already finalized for this year?
This year or, well?
Oh, for the following year. I apologize.
Okay.
For 2020.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Noreen Kazi. I live on 10 Presidential Drive South in Plainview. And I'm here to reiterate what Elka has said as well. I have three boys that have gone through the school, Plainview school system. Two have graduated, started kindergarten, graduated already. I still have one at Matlin. And, you know, they've loved Plainview, but they, you know, I would love for them. There was, you know, certain days that they didn't feel included. And I guess, you know, I want my youngest one to be able to have that. And so we'd love to present formally in front of the board to request our holiday off. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Aisha Magda. I live on 1 Sally Lane, Plainview. I have lived in this town for about 19 years. My two kids graduated from JFK High School, and now I have one freshman in JFK. And I just want to echo the sentiments that were conveyed here. Our school, as more and more school districts on Long Island, they are following the suit and adapting the Eid holiday. My kids are asking me, why aren't we doing it? So it will mean a lot to us that our school Muslim student body feels part of the school district as well and get to enjoy their holiday. Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you want to address it? Well, that's up to you.
I have a question for the there are two holidays. Are both? Are you requesting Eid al-Fitr and the? Yes, please. And which days? Because when we look at the calendar, there are 4 days.
Right. So the way it works is on a lunar calendar. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at the 2021 calendar, the Eid al-Adha is falling on May 13th or the 14th. So, I mean, we will get a confirmation, but we will follow the New York State. They're following an exact calendar. And the other holiday is actually going to come in summer.
Summer, right,
so
July.
Then there's only one day that we're talking about.
When I look at the calendar and when you speak to different groups, for example, New York City celebrated it differently from the groups out here. So, when I looked at the calendar for us, it would be May 13th, 12th, and 13th. Now, you're saying it's May 13th and 14th. So do we follow? Like, who would be the authority to let us know so the board would know?
I think it's the May 13th, but we can get a confirmation from the – because there's, a study done, and they have calculated these dates all for the future, maybe 30 years. We can forward the study to the board. And it tells you exactly what days it's going to fall on. And most school districts follow the exact same date.
Right. Actually, no. New York City celebrates one day, and the districts out here does the other, because depending on who you speak to,
right,
they have a different take. So that's what I'm asking. What's the authority on the dates?
It doesn't really matter to us at this point, because the holiday itself is celebrated like 3 days. So even if we get it one of the days, that will be enough for us.
One is not holier than the other?
It's celebrated 3 days. If we get smart. If we get it on the first day or the second day, it'll still mean a lot to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add to that, Dr. Lewis. There are, as you know, several different schools of thought behind this.
Right, that's why.
But in North America, there is one kind of like the Islamic Society of North America often has a published calendar that goes out 30 years, actually. So we may propose that, but it would just be one day that we would ask for 2021.
Year.
Yes.
But normally it would be one in the early part of the year and one in the latter part of the year.
They are 3 months apart. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. I just want to say that we do have our calendar on the agenda for approval. It'll be up to the board. However, clearly we have a little, we have some things that we have to look at. So we can still approve the calendar, and therefore giving, if that's the board's will, because we want to give parents and staff as much time to prepare for going back to school before Labor Day, that, you know, does not normally happen. And then we can vote to amend the calendar should the board wish to do that. So I'm just putting that out there as an option. Next, we're going to routine business. Can I get a motion on routine business? Ginger, a second. Tara, any holds, separations, discussion? All those in favor of routine business? Thank you. We'd like to welcome a new staff member, and Dr. Mulieri.
Yes, by action of the Board of Education this evening, you've appointed a new high school assistant principal, Mr. Michael Farrell, who's in the audience. Michael.
As opposed to Phil Farrelly.
It's a little
Michael,
confusing.
Welcome aboard.
That's going to be cute.
We welcome you and are very excited to have you and wish you well. Okay, now we're going to go on to new business. Do I have a motion to adopt the 2020-2021 school calendar? Seth, second. Ginger, discussion? All those in favor?
We're going to look into those other issues, though, right?
Yeah. Can I have a motion? Wait a second. Why do we have two?
No, one's the budget calendar.
Oh, got it. Can I have a motion for the school budget calendar for 2020-2021? Ginger, second. Seth, discussion? All those in favor?
21.
I know. Can I have a motion to amend and adopt the student health services policy and regulation? Ginger, second. Seth, any discussion? All those in favor? Can I have a motion on the consultant services agreement? Jody, second. Lauren, discussion? All those in favor? Can I have a motion for the transportation appeal? Okay. Seth?
I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda to add a new item under new business 11.6, transportation appeal. And that would be a resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Plainview Old Bethpage Central School District hereby denies the transportation appeal of the students listed in confidential Schedule A.
A second? Tara? All those in favor?
And Seth? Now I'd like to move on the newly added 11.6 resolution on the transportation appeal.
Second? Susan? All those in favor? Can I have a motion to enter into executive session to discuss collective bargaining negotiations? Seth, second Jody, all those in favor? Thank you for coming out tonight, and we'll see you soon.